Good evening. This is a pause instruction personnel student services committee meeting. Date February 11, 2013, and the time is 6:11. Carlos, would you please call roll?
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Here.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Here.
Mrs. Quintana?
Here.
And the first agenda item, please.
Policy A. One, possible revisions of CW local naming facilities, presenter Ms. Brigham.
Go ahead, Mrs. Brigham. Ms. Brigham.
Thank you, ma'am. We had brought this up. We had brought this up in a previous, and what the board had, but it actually was Mr. Rodriguez, Chairperson Gonzalez, is that he wanted this brought up as far as maybe looking at some of the things on this policy. But I believe, because what I had thought originally is that the colors and all that is, we're talking two different issues. The colors we were talking about, Ms. Whitney, if you remember, was the colors of the building, not necessarily what the school colors were going to be on the t-shirts they wore. Or, you know, I mean, I think that's still going to be a local control. Mm-hmm. And that's what I had brought up, and then we just had to have some clarification on that, because, of course, we already named the school, and I have no problem. We didn't know whether we needed to add anything about the colors of, because what this policy, I believe, is saying is it just the colors, not the colors of the building, it's what we were talking about, Mr. Medina, but the colors of that school identifies a character, you know, like Bill Childress is green and gold. I think Jose Damian is turquoise.
I'm surprised Ms. Matthews isn't here, because she was the one who wanted this done. This was all about her. Mm-hmm. And she wanted this done so that ultimately the school colors, like the green and gold, the, you know, blue and orange, whatever, that ultimately those colors could be picked up in the colors that were in the building of the school.
In the palette?
Well, yes, in the palette, but also maybe like they would do something in the entryway with the colors.
That is correct,
isn't that
yes.
Correct?
It's more than just the color on the walls. It's, you're right, the identifying character, and part of that was being held up because she was concerned that this could, in a sense, that policy was structured and relaying that this principal, whoever would be, would get to decide those colors, but we wouldn't get a principal until 6 months prior to opening.
Exactly, and that was my issue. See, the building's going to be built, everything's going to be there. I feel that, you know, as far as, I like what the board did, as far as coming with a convention of a palette of colors that could be from now on, you know, maybe with accent colors that could mm-hmm. turn around and be the color of the school. And but not necessarily built into the building. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the thing we have to do is, I mean, we have to get ready for a growing district. And I do think that the colors of the school, as far as the uniform and all that, is a planning decision. But I think as far as the building and the facilities resides up here in the board, I can see a different differentiation. And I think that's what we just need to do is to only accept this as the colors as far as is with the student body and the identity of the school, not with the facilities. And that's why I told Ms. Matthews.
And maybe there's an easy fix here in saying unless otherwise directed by superintendent, because right here it basically says the principal shall establish a committee to recommend a school mascot and colors. 6 months prior to this, we should already be halfway towards that and whatnot. So maybe it's not, no, bless you, yes.
I like what you said. So if once we can do that on page 1 or 2 or page 4, mm-hmm. it is in the 1, 2, 3, 6, sixth paragraph?
Yes.
We could put the very last sentence. The committee will submit the recommendation to the superintendent board of trustees for their final approval.
I think the committee is not the concern, the how the committee is formed and who's deciding, because right now it's on the principal. If you read that reg, once a school is named, which we already have, and a principal is assigned, which we don't have,
right. The
principal shall establish a committee. So we've already set in a policy, we have to wait for naming of the school and then the principal before we can go to the next step. And I think maybe there just needs to be a little bit of fine-tuning and or maybe?
Maybe. Well, what I think, too, is just add there, except when a new building's being built. Because in an existing structure, it's going to adopt, you know, this is for a new. I think what I could do is just add something a little more clarifying that we could put into. Now, do you want to do that in local or do you want me to put that in reg?
I'm thinking reg might be the easiest way because local seems.
I would bring it to the committee, though.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, but regulation administration can change it at any time.
Okay.
Do you want that in regulation?
Well, I think it should be in policy and in reg.
Yeah.
Both. Yes.
Would you go over what you said again?
once a school is named, and or is really where I'm going with, a principal is assigned. That way you can do either one. Mm-hmm. The district shall establish a committee to recommend a school mascot and colors instead of assigning the principal. Uh-huh. Yeah, the district shall establish a committee. That way, in the regs, you can then spell it out a little bit clearer. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Very good.
So, and or a principal is assigned, the district shall establish a committee.
Because I saw a complete separation, and maybe that's because it's coming from the
Item 2, possible revisions of QB local planning and this decision-making process, campus level, Ms. Britton.
Yes, if you would all go to page 8. What administration is recommending is to take out the last sentence. Well, we can just take out one word. It says the last sentence is all meetings shall be held outside the regular school day. Or you could put all meetings may be held outside the regular school day. Which gives a little bit of flexibility for the campuses.
I agree with the may. Are they held right currently what are they held outside of the school day?
Well, if you have, okay, I guess I can't be in trouble for things I did 3 years ago, right?
No.
Okay. So, I did both. I did no, I don't think I ever read that last part sentence.
So you'd have it inside
I
the school
had it, day? Oh, no, I had to. Let me tell you the reason behind that, Mr. Medina, is sometimes it's both ways. The pendulum swings both ways. Sometimes you can get parents that can come during the day because their kids are already going to school. And then sometimes you can't get parents during the day because they work. So if you kind of had a pendulum and some have some during the day and some outside the day, I could get some parents. That's the only thing. But I really didn't know that one line existed. I thought it always was May.
I have some questions, Ms. You said parents. According to this policy, you are required how many parents?
I'm sorry, can I have that again?
According to this policy, you're required two parents per campus?
Shall include
at least two parents. And you can't give to parents?
Believe it or not, no.
Lynette.
We can't. I mean, to arrive consistently in the same time, because they have to be elected there. Now, we did have at BCE, now it's going back quite a few years, but then, I'm going to be absolutely honest with you, I had to have it mostly during the school day, because that's when I had parental input, and I had a community member that could do it then. You know, because all I had to do is give that community member an agenda, and they were able to take their time off.
Because it's supposed to include at least two community members. And business reps.
And even with the DAC, I know it's been very difficult to get community members and business reps.
Okay. My other question...
They only meet at 5.
My other question is, and I had asked you this before, you and I.
Okay.
If we have this throughout the day, we're going to have subs?
Yes, ma'am.
So how many subs per campus?
There'd be one per grade level.
So it would be 7 for elementary?
7 for elementary.
So it would be 350?
And then,
I mean, how much is the average?
I'd say $75 a day.
But, so you use
it? So it's a half day? No, it's a half day.
Times?
Put 7.
7 what? 7 meetings?
Oh. No, if you have a meeting, we have maybe 6 weeks, so if you have it, so you probably have it, 6 meetings, you're right.
Because you're also,
one in the summer.
Because you're also 7. Pulling them away from instruction. And you're already pulling them enough time away from instruction.
And it would be May. And I think, now what we could add another line and say to not be exclusive of just, all during the day. So that maybe you could cut that in half.
What do you mean?
Okay, what I mean by that last statement, you know how we could put May, and then we could add another statement there, Ms. Gonzalez, and say that at least half the meetings should be done after the school day to try to get as much participation as possible, so that you know you could have it 4 times or 3 times a year. So. What I'm saying is sometimes you'd have it in the morning, sometimes you'd have it during the school day, and other times you'd have, because we had to do that at AMS. We had to switch it.
Okay.
So what we could do is take that sentence, and as Ms. Mendoza says, take the shall and make it a may, and then add a sentence saying that the campus is expected to hold the ECIC meetings, you know, half during the day, and then half, or at least minimally half outside the school day to increase participation of community and business leaders.
Okay.
Ms. Brigham, I have a question. if the campuses have problems filling the parents, community mm-hmm. members, and business reps, do they sometimes get somebody that matches all 3 criteria and call it?
But they only can sign for 1, yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
Are there any legal restrictions to holding that during the day and taking the teachers out of the instructional day?
No, we did check that. We also said because it is, I had Ms. Aguirre.
The funding for the substitutes is through the Title I program? Because it is a requirement of the Title I
program
to have the improvement plan. So that's how we pay for the subs.
So we made sure that was
Okay. I feel better now if you add that sentence.
Okay. Let me just clarify if I may. So we're going to say all meetings may be held outside the school day. The campuses are expected to hold meetings fine-tune this both times, you know, during the school day and after the school day to increase participation of students and community members.
When are the elections held?
It's the very, the first week of school now. And it's usually late. The PIO office usually tells us, sends a note to us if we don't have them given out by the end of August. So.
That's for the debt or that's for the
no,
CLCs?
They're both, there's guidelines for both.
So parents are invited through a
campus.
Campus?
Mm-hmm. Campus, yes.
Are they invited individually or are they invited as through a.
For that or for the CLCs?
No, for the campuses.
Yes, by CIC.
So are they all extended an invitation? Do they send?
I'm not sure how campuses regulate that.
What we would do is we would send it out at the end of the year. Okay, you know how
we put that
during
in?
During parent teacher conference, we have a little form and we say, would you like to participate? And how would you like to participate? Reading to kids? And they said for a committee. And so we put that in and then we go try to recruit the book from that. And then all we go right up to them and said, could you give us one day?
Communications. We do it three. Advertise or something like that.
What is it being done?
How's it being done?
Is it being done?
Is it being done?
Okay.
Because you do want to get people that can commit, but you do want to get people that can at least come. If we get people that could come four times a year, that would be great, because we don't get that.
Okay. Ms. Rachel, any questions?
No.
Ms. Patsy? No. Ms. Laurie? No. Mr. Main?
No.
Okay.
With those
revisions.
Okay.
Thank you.
Next agenda. Item B1, review of TEA recommended positions as a result of TEA audit. Presenter Ms. Brigham and Ms. Carrasco.
Ms. Brigham placed this item on the agenda to talk about two of the positions that I know she mentioned to me directly, and this was the CTE counselor and the director for federal programs. And these, I believe, in conversations that she had with TEA, these are two positions that they're hoping that we can accommodate. I do have job descriptions coming forth on these, and I guess this is an informational item to let you know that, formally let you know that these are positions that are being requested.
Now, with that said, that does not mean that as special director of federal programs, what we're looking at is what I believe I said to the board is that we might be looking at a couple of positions that we currently house and make three positions into two positions. Do you know what I mean? Because of, you know, we always have to watch the ratio on the AEIS as far as, you know, admin, even though we're below it. But what we're looking at is that this is informational. Now, as far as the career ed counselor, I would like to proceed with that, and that would be for next year's budget, and that would be paid directly out of Kyle Perkins, which would do two things. It would address and help us with the program of studies, which we have at the high school right now, as far as students that have a coherent sequence of courses. And it would also help with the PGPs, which is the personal graduation plans, which is dictated by law to have, which I know Ms. Fiatto's done quite a lot of work with the council to get that accomplished this year, which will be on our corrective action plan for TEA. as an accomplishment, it looks like, okay? So this, the counselor, I do think is needed. I do think that we can mesh this into it. I don't think they might have some, they might not have, like, we might not give them a portion of the alphabet, you know, like how they have it now. We might give them more a segment of the population, like juniors and seniors, that have a coherent sequence of courses. It would be, but they would work in concert with the counselors as far as scheduling, as far as making sure the credit checks have the right documentation and things like that.
What would the chair? What were the titles again of these two positions?
One would be a career ed counselor, and the second one would be the director of federal programs. Now, what you also need to know is that I will be, in the correspondence that I'll be having with TEA, I am giving them a couple of job descriptions that we currently have in the district and showing them that we do oversee some of the federal, that we do oversee the federal programs. Because initially, I think there was concern that there wasn't enough governance over the federal programs. Now, with that said, I don't know if they'll say, okay, and that you have enough, or they'll come back and say, no, we still have this.
Career Ed. Sorry, go ahead.
I have a question. On you say it's working with the counselors?
The CTE?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, the counselors are the ones that create the graduation for each individual student, that create their graduation plan, correct?
Which plan are we talking about? The graduation plan
for each
or
student?
The PG? Okay, the graduation plan starts as early as eighth grade.
Yes, yes. So when would this person step in?
The career ed counselor?
Mm-hmm.
The career ed counselor would step in, probably, they would definitely be over there with the eighth graders, helping the CTE teachers and the administration of the two middle schools to make sure that the kids understood what a program of study was, what a career sequence of courses, and though to also explain to them, you know, the difference between the recommended plan and the distinguished plan. So it wouldn't be just career ed. They have to be a counselor first, and then they have to have a career ed certification. So it would be a blend. And then we haven't fine-tuned it exactly, and I do have some of it. Like I said, monitors yearly updates of students in a coherent sequence in grades 9 through 12 using the district software. So we do have Naviance that now could help track those. We're not talking all paper like that's been used presently. So I'm still saying that I think it's more going to be 10th and 11th and 12th graders. And then they would be working in concert with the counselors. Because if a kid becomes at risk, and they have a personal graduation plan, that means that there's something that could interfere with that child graduating within 4 years. So the career ed counselor needs to be there to kind of marry the programs, because what happens is a lot, and we all know this, is that sometimes the most at-risk kids come in from for 8 hours, 6 hours a day, they're just core. And then we wonder why they don't want to come back to school. So if we could marry the two by having the core subjects and having a career ed, because we know that they want to come to career ed classes, and we could mesh them together. So I'm not sure if I'm answering your questions, Kintana.
Yes, yes, because I wanted to see where and at what time they would step in with.
You know, I think right now is and this is the world of playing bring.
So the counselors would identify.
Yes.
And then that's.
I do see this person has to be housed with the academic counselors. It cannot be housed down the hall. They cannot be housed up here. They must be housed with the academic housing.
Chair.
Yes, sir.
The career ed, so they're going to be housed at the high school.
Yes.
And the director of federal programs, where are they going to be? They're going to be here?
Well.
And under what organization are you looking to put them under?
You don't have that? Let me answer that. Basically, I guess with what Ms. Brigham has said is that was the recommendation from TEA to have that position. However, because we have a couple of positions that have some of that language in there as far as overseeing the title programs and doing Nickel B and that type, then we do want to revisit those job descriptions and then check with TEA and see if that's adequate. If not, then we would have to create this other position.
I'm hoping we don't have to create a position, but I also don't want you, this was one of the things that was brought to my attention that they felt was needed. However, with Hector and I, we've been giving them information, and this will be part of my narrative of the information I give them this week, is that we are watching over Title I, and these are the positions that watch over Title I. So, but I also wanted something as far as an agenda item that they know that we're talking about their suggestions and that we're looking at it. But to say, I haven't gotten as far as where you're just going with that, mm-hmm. where it would report, sir, not yet.
Okay. Thank you.
I have a question. TEA audit, is that the one we recently had, or is that the one that has to do with career and technology, or?
Which position are we talking about?
No, I'm talking about the TEA audit itself.
Okay, that the one that,
because you're saying about creating some positions. Might have to create some positions.
It was brought up in both. Under the current, we're talking the current. Good question, ma'am. Okay. We're talking the current, because what they did say with the current was the personal graduation and the coding. Okay. So it was brought up in both.
My other question. We might or might not have to do this. And you mentioned this earlier. Do we already have someone that is overseeing federal programs? We might not have to.
True. What? This is how they explained it to me. They said they saw some things, but they only came in for a glimpse. They did not. They haven't worked here. They don't know how we work. So. They said, if there's anything that I can provide a narrative to or we can substantiate, for me to send it.
Yeah, because this person that is doing that job right now has a it's a low pay grade compared to a director's position.
Well, it's multiple people that are doing it, actually.
Uh-huh.
And so that's why I said there might be a blend.
Okay.
What I'm trying to do is, number one, is to let you know that I was going to put this in a narrative to TA, and I'm going to be honestly saying these are the people that are watching over this program, and this is how they're doing it. It might suffice, or they might come back and say, no, we want you to tighten that up a little bit, but I do think, and also I wanted it as part of an agenda item to show the agency that we took some of their recommendations and we're moving forward.
Okay, how soon are you planning to contact them? Because you don't know what they're gonna respond.
No, you're right.
So we don't, actually, I feel comfortable recommending only the CTE counselor.
And then we can do that and then we can wait for a response. Absolutely, I'm fine with that.
I mean, you still have to present what we currently have.
You're right. I'm fine with that.
Okay. I don't know how the rest of the board feels. So the rest of the committee feels.
This was an informational item. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I can go ahead and put the job description for the CTE counselor in your next packet. And then that could be reviewed and brought forward for your review and approval.
Separate them.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Next agenda item, please.
Item B2, two-hour absences for exempt employees and teams. Presenter Ms. Carrasco.
Okay.
This item was brought forth to my attention from a board member.
I did.
Basically, I want to include policy for leaves and absences, DEC local. Basically, what it is that for exempt employees, they, or we call it absences, either for a half day or full day increments. And there's no in between. It's half day, full day.
And can I interrupt? Let me interrupt you. I did check with EPISD, mm-hmm. and they also have theirs. Do you have that information? Okay, good.
And so anyway, we record our absences in half day, full day. Now, it's been the practice of this district that when employees either become ill or they have an appointment they have to go to, and it's an unwritten rule, but it's been a practice for many years that there's like a 2-hour leeway for the exempt staff. And of course, that should be done on an occasional basis, not on a frequent basis, and that's how we've been operating till this point in time. Now, one of the reasons that existed was because under the old system that we had, it could only account for the time in that manner as far as the exempt employees. And then also for our subs, because, you know, it wouldn't be a cost benefit for a sub to show up for an hour or two. So basically, that's where this half day, full day increment came into play. Now that we have Teams now records all of our time and hours. And so now there's more flexibility as far as that's concerned. And to go ahead and if an employee needs to leave early, I'm talking an exempt employee, they could go ahead and call in 2 hours. Before, let's say I needed to leave at 2 o'clock or 2:30 for an emergency, then if I called in an absence, my leave would be docked for 4 hours versus just the 2 hours. And now there is that flexibility in the system. And so I know I was asked to look into that to see if we could go ahead and make that adjustment at this point in time, given that the system now is able to do that. And also, in doing so, we still have to take into account that if we go ahead and go down that route to do that and account for our time in that manner, as far as recording leave for any position that requires a substitute, that would still be in a half day or full day increments.
Right.
So, I guess I was getting your input on that and what we need to do.
Right. Anyone has questions?
On substitutes, I know that sometimes emergencies arise, and as a matter of fact, sometimes it's hard to find a substitute at the last minute like that. The person still calls in for that half day, and the campus secretary or the administrator try to figure out how to cover the class.
That's correct.
But they're supposed to still put in for that half day.
Yes, right. Yes. In other words, for anybody in a classroom, this 2 hour would not work. It would be only in half day increments, the way they're doing it now. Mm-hmm. So if they need to leave at 2:30, at 3 o'clock,
but if there's no substitute involved, they could still put in and say
they would still need to, it would operate that way.
It would still operate that way, even if there's no substitute involved. Even if they were able to find somebody to cover.
Yeah, well, it's not a matter of
say you have a lot of substitutes and if you combine those substitutes to cover during their prep period.
Well, but this is about their leave. It's not about the substitute. I mean, if sometimes there are substitutes on campus that they can use to cover. Like you said, sometimes there's emergencies and it's not feasible to call in the system and try and get a sub for an hour. And so then usually the
campus. But if there's no substitute involved, though, what I see, if somebody here at central office, mm-hmm. they can call in for the 2 hours, but if you're on a campus,
you can't.
and you were able to find somebody to cover for them, and theirs was 2 hours, but they were made to call in half a day.
Mm-hmm. What's the difference?
That's...
You know what, and I also shared with a lady in EPIC. Mm-hmm. She said that the system can be set up to whatever you want it to be.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it can.
And I understand where you're coming from with regarding the subs, and Rachel brought up a very good point. I don't know how to approach this because they're doing the same thing where they're with subs. You have to take a half day.
So you're saying then, am I understanding that if they don't call a sub, then they just call for whatever hour, if they're gone for 3 hours, and they call 3 hours?
Or 2 hours.
Because
there's no sub involved.
Well, but
if say for instance, sometimes I find ways to cover because subs don't come in at the last minute mm-hmm. like that, the majority of time.
Then you're going to have various rules being applied. At you know, it's well, like if I'm a teacher, then I'm always. It's half day, or maybe an hour, maybe 2 hours. Is that?
What I think it's just it. Because when you were saying that it doesn't apply because of the substitute situation, but then if there's no substitute involved, then it doesn't.
But the position requires a sub. And I guess whatever direction you want to go with this, you know, we can go ahead and, but, you know, if it's going to be, then it's going to be across the board, just everybody calls in 2 hour increments, and that would apply to the teachers. But basically, they would not be able to get a sub if it's not for a half day increment. So if they're going to be gone for 3 hours, there's no sub.
Other than the teachers, mm-hmm. here at Central Office, it's at the discretionary of the professional employee, if they say, you know, I've got an emergency at home, I'll be back, I'll come back, and they that employee plans to be back within 2 hours. If they come 2.5 hours, 2 hours and 45 minutes, it's at that employee's discretion to say, I'll call or
well, it's just like now, if you're going to be out, you call in your absence. The discretion to use that 2 hour leeway, of course, is always with the supervisor. I mean, if they need to leave, they have to check with the supervisor. Teachers need to check with their principal. So if they need to leave and, you know, an emergency came up, then it would be to revise the policy to reflect that they would have to call in for any time not present.
I see.
Okay. I agree with the 2 hour absences being called in, regardless. Now with the subs, I don't know how to handle it.
The subs would only come in for half day. They're paid on full day and half day increments. Right. So if they're not paid by the hour, if the teacher leaves for any time less than a half day, then they won't be able to get a sub.
And I understand what you're saying, but if they leave like at 3, they still have to call in half. They still have to call in half a day.
I believe that's what they do at EPISD.
Yeah, they do.
So it's better.
That rule of the 2 hour does not apply. And I can read, I have here, it says recording of leave. For positions for which a substitute is normally required, leave shall be recorded in half day increments, even if a substitute is not employed. And that's out of DEC Local for El Paso ISD.
No, I know that they call in half a day. I know because I also checked into it. But what I'm saying is that Rachel brought up a very good point, that if they leave and they're able to find someone because no one wants to come in, they still have to call in half a day for an hour or two. But yet, in here, it was okay not to do it.
Well, No, that applied for the teachers too. I know that I had calls from principals. You know, my teacher has a dentist appointment and they need to leave at 3:15. Do I make them call in a half a day or can they leave? And because we've had that, like I said, it was a practice that it's not written anywhere, but you know, there was a discretionary 2 hour if it came up, you know, as long as the employee did not abuse it and it was occasional, then that 2 hour as exempt employees were allowed to do that.
Spriggan.
I think we might be painting ourselves in a corner because as a principal, I would have a teacher come up to me and say, you know, Miss Brigham, you know, just got out of three. We're supposed to work until 3:45 or 4. I can't remember what it was at that time. It was two different times. And they didn't do it, but you know what I mean? She said, I got the last dental appointment. You know, I have to be, can I leave today? I need to go on, you know, get my appointment at 3:30. I said, of course. You know, I mean, no. So and I'm gone that. But I know when I'm out, I didn't know about the 2 hour thing. So I was out for 4 hours. I'm gonna be honest, you know, when I reclaimed it, I tried to push it like with Ms. Mendoza saying that make sure I was gone at least 2 hours and 45 minutes or 3 hours because I had to call in for 4 hours.
Correct.
So I think we're biting off our nose to spite our face. I think if you're gonna keep teachers in the classroom more of the time because I don't think we have an overabuse of it. And I think our teachers are professional that if they come in and we're gonna have that conversation. I had to have a conversation with a teacher that says, you know, you're coming in, you know, you need to, no, I'm not gonna allow this. But the other thing that's gonna cause a problem is in the secondary schools, the ones that happens to have the prep in the afternoon are gonna be able to, maybe able to get off the radar quicker and get out than the elementary teacher that has the kids all day long. So I think there might be some inequities.
So maybe we should stick with the same policy as EPISD, half a day, and 2 hours with the same calling of
teams. And then I also want to one of the things also looking at EPISD, I know we're talking about doctor's appointments. Well, they don't consider doctor's appointments to be an emergency. So they say it's either illness or emergencies. And exactly. A doctor appointment is not an emergency.
Exactly.
So but they also have discretion. It says an employee may be excused from duty by the principal and or immediate supervisor for as much as 1 hour for emergency or temporary leave. So now, basically, what we're doing is the two-hour leeway has gone down to 1 hour.
Mm-hmm. And how often is 1 hour, Martha?
Well, like I said, it is noted that it should be infrequent.
How often is infrequent?
Once or twice a year. It just depends.
You know what I'm saying.
On situations, individual situations. I mean, there's...
I shared some, you know what I'm talking about. That's why I'm not trying to corner you. You know what I'm talking about. And that's why I said, do we need to tighten this? Not for any of you that are here, but for some people. And because of some people, the rest have to suffer the consequences.
So,
Ms. Brigham.
One of the things that is in the PEAS, because we are talking about teachers versus, you know, the rest of the staff, and the teachers and the campus personnel, they're there. The school in our title, we have to, you know, make sure the kids are taken care of. But under the PEAS, under Domain 6, it clearly states policies and procedures. And that's where I would talk with the teacher that if all of a sudden, like you said, that infrequent become a little bit too frequent.
Exactly.
And I would have to sit there and it would be effective on their evaluation at that point. And you had to have those kind of conversations. However, I do think using the shotgun we get everybody, where if you shop shoot and just get the ones that are not, that are causing the problems, and you hold them accountable, then it's a better system.
Okay, let's get the discretionary leave there, and if we have to address it, we'll have to address it then.
So you want me to go ahead and revise our local
yes.
policy to include that two-hour leeway and some of the verbiage, bring it back so we can revisit it?
Yes,
and
please. Thank you. Does the committee agree?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. Next agenda item. I'm sorry? She's going to...
We're going to bring it back. Revising policy.
Well, do you have the... Do you want to bring it back, recommend it to the full board? Do you have a wording there, or... Can you bring it to the board so we can...
I can bring it to the board on the 19th, yes.
Okay, bring it to the board. Thank you, Carlos.
Okay, item three, possible creation of new positions for district liaison officers. Ms. Carrasco.
This item, Ms. Blaze put it on the agenda for discussion. I believe it was recommended or for discussion by a board member. I went ahead and pulled some job descriptions from various school districts. This position, as far as normally called a governmental relations within a school district, and it would be a director level or above position. And this is something that we certainly can come up with a job description if the committee chooses to move forward with this. I also know that I believe there was going to be an RFP for this also. So I guess I need some guidance as if you all want me to move forward with this job description.
Madam Chair.
Ms. Searles.
I'm not sure that one equals the other.
Mm-hmm.
I have to be honest with you, I don't think one equals the other. I think that, and I could be wrong, and you know, be happy to be wrong if I am, but what I'm understanding is that we'd like to have someone who specifically looked at legislative items, things that are coming up statewide that will affect education, our business as we do business, and that can keep us on top of that at a statewide level. It could be contract work. It wouldn't even have to possibly be a full-time position because the legislature only meets once every 2 years. So that, I believe, is the mindset for position A. This position is more, that's global. This is more local. We, a week ago, February the 5th, there was a large meeting somewhere downtown with the city planning department. We were not represented there. And when you think about in terms of El Paso, where is the rest of the development going to happen? It's in our school district. You know, that there's not a lot of open areas in El Paso. Isleta, Socorro, I guess, has some. Clint has plenty, but we're the last frontier. We had no one at this meeting. El Paso had someone, Isleta had someone, Socorro had quite a few people. Jennifer Matthews provided the presentation to me, and in the presentation we've got a picture, something in the presentation. There's a picture of our high school. We don't know what this is about. There's talk about all of our schools in here, circles around them. Don't know what that's about. Picture of our Lone Star School. We don't know what any of this is about because we don't have anybody at the table. And I think that it's an absolute disservice because we need a place at the table so we know where we're going to grow, how we're going to grow. Do we like the way El Paso's telling us we're going to grow?
Mm-hmm.
This document, it says there will be no more chain link fences. Well, you know how That's not good for schools. You know, schools have chain link fences. They're talking about the size of land for schools and how, you know, you're not going to have 20 acres for a school anymore. You're going to get this little peanut size piece of land for a school because that's what somebody else thinks is appropriate. It's not, I don't think it's what any of us think is appropriate. We need to have someone at the table, and I heard this said lately, I shared it with Ms. Brigham, if we're not at the table, having a place at the table, we're going to be on the menu. And as of today, it looks like we're on the menu, like they're eating our lunch and we don't even know it, let alone, you know, have anything to say about it. So this is what I brought this forward for, was someone who would be in attendance, that is their job, to know what's going on, to report to the board what's going on, to look forward to, you know, what we have as far as communities being built in the upper portion, the lower portion, the south, the north, all over our district. Right now, we have got growth going on in the valley area that's just unbridled. Mm-hmm. And we don't know what it is. There's no one who can say, oh, gee, board members, there's going to be 15 homes over here and 5,000 right over here. And these are going to cost this. You know, there's no process that we're at. And so this is what I'm asking, that we write a job description, mm-hmm. create a position so that the city of El Paso and the other entities know we mean business and that we do want the best for our district.
I will go ahead and have a draft.
Everybody understand?
That description ready. As a matter of fact, one of the duties that I have listed is serving as a day-to-day liaison with the offices of elected officials in the city and county, including the mayor and the board of supervisors. This includes developing local legislative agenda, developing relationship with city legislative and mayoral staff. And I mean, there's other duties here that we can go ahead and incorporate. I will develop that job description and then send it off to you in your packet so that you can review them and comment on that.
I do agree with Ms. Searles regarding this position, because what you're talking about is on staff versus contract, and I think the state, because it's so infrequent, their stuff is really something that we can contract with. This was more of a local, state, and federal position that could be up to date on all the things that are happening, because there is so many things currently happening in education. So I would agree that it's almost two separate things that we're talking about.
Ms. Brigham's.
I agree. What I'm hearing is that we have two. We're going to go forward with the RFP for the contracted mm-hmm. services for the governmental.
For the state.
For the state. Now, one thing I'd like to add with Ms. Searles, what she was saying too, is I do believe that position, what you're talking about for the creation of the job description for that, would be a good position to fall to be housed under the associate superintendent. The reason being also is because the GIS is going to be housed there.
Precisely.
So what I see is a marriage between the mm-hmm. two, because then we'd get the timely information. We could give them direct supervision on what to do. They could be on the facilities, you know, part of the facilities planning. So I was just saying, if based on that, I could add some duties to that job description.
But not that it would be watered down.
No, ma'am.
Because really,
you need boots on the ground.
I'm almost cautioned against that.
Yeah, and the main focus must be that from Gomez Road to the Anthony School District, we need a day-by-day accounting of what's going on. And I can see it with the GIS, because those people can look, but they only see a picture. They don't see the planning, the preparation, the, you know, this person would need reports from the plan commission, the people who come before the plan commission, the utilities people, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I'd actually caution against trying to associate district duties outside of what its core purpose is, to have a voice in government for this district. Mm-hmm. And sometimes meetings, as they do, tend to go long, and we don't want to have it so they're everywhere. They need to be one thing and one thing very well, which is our voice in that government.
And to, I know that we as a board, we've spent a lot of time and effort passing resolutions, heartfelt resolutions, mm-hmm. that of what we, and sending them to the city. And my guess is they do this when they get them. And why shouldn't they? There's no one to be our enforcer. There's no one to say, you know, we gave that to you, and we don't see what we're asking for in the developments that you're giving us. We don't see that in, you know, saying we're not going to have chain link fences anymore. That's the specificity of the job description, I think, that they have got to be absolutely on top of the game, on top of the curve, so that we're not going, oh my gosh, we've got all those homes. What are we going to do with those children? We can't build a school. We don't have the money. We don't have a bond issue.
Smart growth hurts.
And that smart growth for urban does not equal smart growth for rural. Someone that will know this, and if they don't know it, they'll learn it and apply it to our best interest. So I think that's pretty much it.
Okay. So, Ms. Carrasco, then, so we're, you want to come up with a job description then?
I'll have a job description ready for your review.
Okay. I think as soon as possible, too.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Next agenda item, please. Thank you, Ms. Jones.
Item 4, Director of Student Community Services, job description, Ms. Carrasco.
In your Thursday packet, I provided you the job description for the Director of Student Community Services. And this job description, I know, has been reviewed by administration. It's ready to move forward, and I am asking the committee to recommend this to the full board for approval.
Any questions? The only thing that I see here is supervisor responsibilities.
Okay.
Ms. Blank, are you going to add anything there?
Or? Yes, we do have a list. I can go ahead and modify that and put that in there.
And then bring it to the full board then? Or?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Okay, are we in agreement?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, next agenda item, please.
Item 5, review and possible revision of district stipends.
I guess going back to some of the assistance that is going to be needed to meet the expectations and the recommendations by TEA, we had the need to create or to recruit some retired school district administrators to assist us on a temporary basis. What I am recommending, since most of these individuals are not independent contractors, but are those that either they've asked to assist or that we've reached out to. I talked to Luz Cadena over at TASB, and she's recommended that we have a stipend for a temporary or substitute administrator. And basically the rate of pay for that would be based on the job assignment. For example, if it's somebody that's coming and doing AP work, then we would look at the pay range for an AP, and anywhere from minimum to midpoint, we could go ahead and make the range to that. So it just depends on what job that this temporary administrator would come in to do. Or what position, level of position they would be at, that would be the recommended rate of pay for that substitute administrator.
Okay, Ms. Rachel.
Up to this point, what have you done when they do hire, well not hire, but get somebody temporary to fill in?
We haven't, since I've been on board, we have not had substitute administrators.
that we've brought in from the outside, maybe a retired principal or somebody. No, we've not, since I've been on board, we haven't had the need. The need here arises. The need here arises because of the expectations and recommendations that TEA has placed on us and the short turnaround that we've got to do. So we're getting people from out the outside that most of them were hired to come back in, step back in, and give us a hand.
Because they have brought in some before, correct?
We've had some before.
Yeah, we've held back.
Mm-hmm. And how did they handle that?
I remember when I was a principal at...
Do they sign up like substitutes? Or?
No, we actually, I know it was with Ms. O'Donnell, because we were at, when I was at BCE, we brought in a gentleman, Mr. Mendoza, mm-hmm. who came in, and it was for FMLA. So what they did is they contracted that person in, but evidently they didn't, I don't know how they came up with the pay scale or anything for that, but I do know we had it.
And he also did the high school.
Oh, that's true. I think he came in and just set his price. And we said, okay, I don't know.
But there is, I can see where that those needs do arise.
Mm-hmm. At times. Okay. Any questions? Okay, we're in
agreement?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so then I will be adding that line item to our stipend list, and that would be, I guess, the recommendation for approval to the full board.
Okay. Next agenda item, please.
Item 6, review and possible consolidation of transportation work calendar.
I provided the committee on the Thursday packet a spreadsheet. And what I had and did on here was that it is everybody in the transportation department. You've got bus drivers, monitors, office staff, mechanics, everybody within that department. Now, within that same department, we have 6 work calendars, which means that they have different days. For example, I've got some people working 219 days. I've got some at 258, some at 224. Most of them are at 180. I've got one at 187, 238, and I think I said that already, 224. So anyway, there's 6 different work calendars involved with these folks, and basically what I'm looking at are the bus drivers and the monitors. Office staff will remain on their same work calendar. Mechanics will remain on the same work calendar, but it's the bus drivers and the monitors that I'm looking at because they've got, what I'm looking for is to standardize their work calendars. And what I'm proposing, I know that I talked to Jenna, Ms. Matthews, and to Mr. Miranda. One of Mr. Miranda's biggest complaints, if you've got the 180 calendar, that when he wants to provide training for his bus drivers and monitors, there's no time in the calendar. So he's always asked for additional time to be able to bring them in and provide them the necessary training that are required by the Region 19 and by their profession. So what I want to do is go ahead and increase their work calendar for all of those that are at 180. And I'm making the recommendation to 185. I went ahead and included 187 if we want to get them equal to the teacher calendar, but we can go ahead and do the 185. And what this means, if you have the colored copy that I gave you, and what's highlighted in red, I believe there's 4 bus drivers that would feel the impact because I would have to, their hours would remain the same, but their work calendar would change. And of course, this is something that would affect their pay. And in doing that, I do need to give them advance notice. If the board will decide to approve this, then I do need to move forward with notifying them as soon as possible that for the next school year, then there is that standardization of calendars, of work calendars, and everybody will be on the same work calendar. So if we do the 185, that means some will increase and some will decrease.
Ms. Rachel, Ms. Patsy.
How did those particular employees, those bus,
bus drivers, yeah.
Bus drivers.
How did they get so many days? Is it because they filled in as something else in the good old days? They used to drive a bus and then...
Probably, and I know that my experience in working in another school district, when it happened, and I don't know if this is something that happened here, but I know that they were year-round, and so everybody got these calendars, but then as the years went by, they scaled back to the normal school year, and they left all these days. Well, in this case, I do have an individual, for example, that works 258 days. If you look at everybody else's calendar to include the supervisor, who is at 224, I have no idea what this individual is doing at 258. I mean, that.
How can you work more days than there are in a year?
Well, the work days.
The work days, correct. Yes, I thought it was 240.
What is a monitor with a holiday? Sounds like a fancy.
Sounds like a drink.
Some have the paid holidays, and basically those have been with the district for quite a while, and now everything is built into the calendar. So I mean, it goes the same thing for some of the custodians where. They have paid holidays, and most of them don't. So those that have the paid holidays, I believe, have been here, have been with the district for a while.
I have a question. How many days does Mr. Miranda need for them to get the training that they require for the school year?
He had mentioned that a week would work. So that's where I was with five working days. So that's why I went to the 185. Okay. And if you look, something interesting, in looking at the totals in the back, currently it's 515,000, let's say. But if you go to the 185, it's 503,000. And then, of course, the 187 is 509,000. And basically, like I said, the impact is to those that are highlighted in red.
So those four are the ones that are taking the impact. And somebody that works every day except for 2 days out of the year, because that's what it comes to, is about 2 days out of the year he does not work, are causing...
And you would question supervision. I mean,
258 days? What? There's only 260 work days in a year.
So I think we need to adjust calendars and notify folks that we want to do this. This is coming down the pike, and then of course, they have options. But just to let them know that we want to standardize the calendars across the board.
Okay. I also have another question.
Go ahead. If I have a question.
How about summer school? Does this school come into? The scope of these days
that
into the summer school?
And what we did last year, they would still have their summer school would still be available to any employee that wanted to work and that there was work available. And of course, I think they still do that by seniority, if I'm not mistaken.
So that is that separate to this?
That would be separate to this, yes. Okay. In other words, the end of school stops. And so then there's other duties during the summer that they can apply for, whether it be summer school and transportation, whether it be other duties and transportation that maybe they may need extra help for whatever reason. I know that last year Ms. Brigham hired some drivers and monitors because they needed to move.
And I'm thinking maybe that's what these four bus drivers, maybe that's where they fell into, where they automatically
yes.
Maybe.
And then we also have warehouse. So we apply, we have, when we have either custodial or warehouse, or there's assistance, that extra assistance that's needed during the summer only, they have the opportunity to apply if they want to work additional days on that.
Ms. Searles.
What about the green people?
Mm-hmm. The green people are going to stay as they are. Because the green people are your mechanics,
okay,
are your office staff, and your supervisors.
So all green stays. Yes. Only red is going to see the significant...
The significant change will be, okay, for the four in the red, and then everybody else will have an increase.
And Rachel, you think that these red
That's
people...
And Ms. Brigham...
I see you nodding also. Because, you know, that's a significant...
It's going to be a big hit.
You can't...
It is going to be a big hit. But to answer your question, Ms. Quintana, yes, these four people in red were given the first slots. I mean, they were given the summer school runs. Not only the summer school runs they were given probably either the pre-K... There's a pre-K K program that goes all day long, and those would be given that run because that run would take up most of the day.
But that shouldn't come into play here. That should be separate, am I understanding, Ms. Carrasco, right?
Right. I'm just saying they worked within the system is what I'm saying is.
And most of these probably carry the seniority, so they would more than likely get the summer school work. There's one here. Basically, what happened is that in years past, they would hire a bus driver and they would say, we're hiring you for 8 hours. We're hiring you for 6.5 hours. And so now the obligation was to pay them for the hours that you hired them. But in reality, the way transportation works is that what drives the bus drivers and the monitors' hours is the route. So if those routes are well-planned and organized, you're going to have routes that are 8 hours. You're going to have routes that are maybe 7 hours, 6.5, 5, all the way down to 4, because we guarantee that they will work at a minimum 4 hours. But other than that, they have the extra runs. And then, like I said, if those routes are well-organized, then that year, again, based on seniority and bidding on the routes, if I'm a senior member of the transportation department, then I'll be up first. And of course, I'm going to bid for an 8-hour route. So for that school year, I will work 8 hours. But if, you know, and if I'm down in the middle, then as those routes keep eliminating, you know, every year your routes is what drives the hours that you work that school year. So it's not a guarantee. Basically, what they've done here is that they've guaranteed them 8 hours, and if they don't have an 8-hour run, then they're scrambling trying to find work for them and things for them to do to keep them busy for 8 hours.
What's Ms. Matthews recommend?
The bus drivers that are part-time and the full-time bus drivers, they all have the same benefit plan, right?
Yes. Bus drivers are a special breed because by law they are required at 20 hours you give them full days.
I have a question, Ms. Perez. The mechanics are 238 days.
Yes.
The staff are 224. Mm-hmm. Do we need them?
Pardon me?
Do we need them 238?
During the summer months, is when they have the opportunity, you should have the opportunity to...
Not do we need them, but do we need them that long?
Well, they need to do all of the maintenance on the other vehicles.
When they're not being used.
Vehicles.
Sure.
So there is justification for that longer calendar for them.
And also, Ms. Gonzalez, is many of our mechanics also have to be bus drivers during the year, so we don't get to that preventive maintenance. So yes, I think that 238 is very much needed also because if you look, those mechanics are part of the four-hour bus drivers during the year, which we've been trying to get away from but have not succeeded as of yet.
What did Ms. Matthews recommend?
I discussed with her the options. She was okay with the 185.
And your recommendation is?
The 185.
185? Does the committee agree with the 185? Okay. We're okay with 185 for the full board.
And so then I will, once it's approved, I will send the notification to the board.
Next agenda item, I'm sorry.
Item 7, 2013 Employee Appreciation Event Planning. Presenter, Mr. Rivelas.
This is Monica's favorite thing.
Oh. You need to take it.
Chairwoman Gonzalez, members of the committee, have come asking for a recommendation from the committee to the full board on the quote for the 2013 Employee Recognition Event and Banquet. Other than the date, which we have set as May 3rd, nothing has changed as far as prices. It's the same pricing that we received last year at the venue.
Is it same services?
Sorry?
Is it same services?
Same services, yes. It includes the same amount of time, the same amount, space, and also the same type of meal.
And the same extras we got last year? I think we got like the furniture thrown in.
We got extra space outside, yes.
Yeah. Madam Chair, I have a question. And Ms. Aguirre, you may be the one who answers this. Do we have to pay the sales tax?
No.
And it's got that figured in here. We're exempt. So, I mean, it's only $145, but... You know,
and we would work with Grace Gardens to eliminate that.
No, their sales tax is $616 right here.
Pardon?
There's a $616 for the buffet.
Yeah, okay. So there's a, you know, $700 worth of tax that
dessert,
we could get back.
That's right. And we will work with Grace Gardens to eliminate that.
Mr. Dillon? How many people did we have attend last year?
Last year we had close to 500. That's what we're doing.
It was packed.
Yeah,
I remember that.
It was a fabulous.
All the money they give out. I think my wife won that.
She did?
She won 500, I think.
Wow. Oh, yes, she did.
We're not giving that.
So what is the actual amount?
The amount for the venue is $20,336. The extra money that is quoted is for plaques, and that's out of human resources, though.
For what?
Plaques. The plaques that we give employees.
3,000.
Okay.
And other things like mailing out of.
Okay.
But the district won't be paying entirely this. If the employee wants to take a spouse or whatever, they'll pay for that spouse's meal.
That's correct. We will be selling tickets for spouses.
Right.
And those is pretty much at cost. So whatever it will cost us per person, that's what it is.
So last year we didn't incur all of this, correct?
No, we didn't. This is what we have to pay up front, but then there is some reimbursement.
Right.
I have a question. Another question.
Yes, Ms. Mosley.
I think it's kind of late now, but why are we going with Grace Gardens?
We're going with Grace Gardens because that's what we were directed to go to. There's other venues in the district, but they were deemed last year to be too small to accommodate the size of this event. And we were directed to find a place that's within the Campillo School boundaries.
Well, maybe next year you can look at, I guess ahead of time.
Mm-hmm. Sir?
So it gets a lot of money.
They are one of the more pricey ones. Mm. They are.
Sorry, we will be there.
Okay. Rachel, Patsy, any questions?
I just thought last year it was a lovely event.
It was.
And I have an agreement for recommendation to the board.
If I may say, the theme this year will be Hollywood red carpet, so we'll have that.
You have TMZ photographers there.
Thank you. Only if you call them.
No.
Thank you.
Okay.
See other business. Item one, review and discussion of national affiliate money savings resources and grants. Presenter Ms. Zuniga.
Good evening, Chair, committee members. I was forwarded this information, I believe, by Ms. Charles. I looked at some of the information, and there seem to be some good resources in it. In particular, TEA was awarded the 21st Community Learning Center, and we are given the opportunity to apply, and it is a competitive grant. We need to schedule a meeting for that to be able to see where the priorities would be or which campuses would be interested in participating. As I understand it, we did have this type of grant some years back, mm-hmm. and I believe three sites were part of it. Three campuses were part of it in a cooperative with YWCA, I believe. That seems to be a good possibility for us. Aside from this one, I was just wanting to see if there was any particular one that you were interested in, that you wanted me to look at.
Ms. Charles. I specifically looked at the grants promote youth baseball. $40,000 mm-hmm. per grant is a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And I know that we've got baseball people who would
mm-hmm. okay.
very much benefit from that one.
It seems like there's several opportunities throughout the year, so we should be able to have plenty of time to look into it and be able to gather
The Tiger Woods one looked like it was made for us.
Yes.
Underserved youth ages 8 to 18. I mean, we got tons of them. We got at least 2,000-3,000 of those that we could.
Tonnage.
The Honda one as well. To be honest with you, I don't know why we wouldn't apply for every one of these, Ms. Zuniga.
Okay.
I don't see anything that would stop us.
I was discussing with Ms. Zuniga as far as prioritizing some things related to this. There are a lot of deadlines related to our entitlements now and so forth. So I would need to be able to use some funding for contracted services, and I believe I have that in my budget. Because depending on the type of grant, it may take 40 to 60 hours. So from here on now until, like this one for the community learning centers, I'm going to take, that's about 5 weeks away for the deadline.
Mm-hmm.
So that's about a week to a week and a half that I would be able to set aside. But I might be able to do subcontracted services to be able to get most of them in.
Is what I'm hearing from you that you've got other jobs on the burner that you've got?
I do a lot of compliance
related to
all the entitlements. I do expenditure reporting. I do some compliance reporting. Really, I handle the IDMB, which is a special ed, mm-hmm. the Title I, Title III, different entitlements.
So you've got a full plate, and these are going to require some additional hours, which you'll need some additional help. It's not my committee, so I'll turn that to the committee.
I have a question, Chair. Ms. Brigham, we don't have a grant writer on.
She's it.
You're it?
No, and this is the person, remember I told you that her job description is one of the ones I'll be sending to TEA because of the compliance component that falls into her job description. Because if you look at what they were saying, I'm saying, but we have somebody because she does do a lot mm-hmm. of compliance for Title I. She also works with she changed her name. Thank you.
Maggie Grant.
I just, I guess the question is, why don't we have somebody on Grant on board? It seems like just this alone right here would
pay for itself.
And there's plenty of other grants out there with Bill Gates and mm-hmm. you know, other...
There's others coming up locally. I know the Hunt Foundation, and I know the quality of life initiatives have been a priority. I believe Mr. Rodriguez mentioned that before, as far as that is concerned, but it's also for the arts and education.
Yeah.
If I may, the one also for the baseball, what we're looking at in Canadillo is looking at the middle schools getting a baseball team and looking into this, and I just thought that would be a good segue into looking at that even for elementary going down, and especially since we have this plan about plan. So when I saw that, but baseball person.
Shoot, it says it can do any of them.
Yeah, it just
program,
seems...
Old program.
It just seems Mizuniga is otherwise occupied with really important
things.
Well, there is a lot of deadlines. There's a lot of compliance throughout the year related to, I mean, just the Title I alone, just the MICOBE alone, that is basically mm-hmm. throughout the year different. Comparability reports, compliance reports, gun-free schools reports, private nonprofits, so there's
Stop.
Throughout the year.
The part of your job description is includes grant writing, doesn't it?
The systems as far as with the coordination and with the research, yes. As far as me being able to write specifically on curriculum for baseball in particular, I need to coordinate that with the athletics people and so forth to be able to actually get that in and written in a format that that really speaks to baseball.
It's been, or at least when I was here, it was extremely difficult, and we spent a lot of time looking for a grant writer, and then we'd get one, and they would stay a couple of years and then move on. But you're right, to find a grant writer would
just these alone.
Salary,
mm-hmm.
and that's it.
You know, at a time in the past also, we used to give them 10%. Was it 10? It was either 1 or 10%.
Of the grant?
Yeah.
It's a good finder.
Yeah. You know, you get the good grant, you get the good pay. You
after the $1 million ones, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
We don't want it.
Who wants that job, man?
Is what I heard from you, like 50 to 60 hours of contract work would cover all of these? Somebody could put in every one of these?
Yes, see.
Depending, the foundation ones may be a little bit smaller, but like the state grants, maybe 40 to 60 hours. And there's this one that is coming up, the one about the community learning centers, mm-hmm. and it's just not just education, it could be at the arts as well.
Yeah.
Quality of life, and then there's another one that is also coming up. It's for pre-K, and it's also through TEA as well. And those would take 40 to 60 hours. And that one also has a deadline of March 21st. So there's two that have deadlines in the next 5 weeks. And so with two of them, it would take about 3 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks, to be able to get it. And that's just basically would be just my time, and then I would still need to coordinate with. Whoever it may be that would be involved with it.
Mrs. Gonzalez.
and I believe, just based on estimates, I mean, if it's 60 hours at $25 an hour contracted service, I'm not sure what the actual rate would be, but I believe we had one before at $1,500, similar to some of these. So for one grant.
Do you have someone in mind?
I believe we used someone before, a couple of years ago, Martha, do you recall?
Yes, while I was serving as interim executive director of finance and then external funding coordinator, I did contract for the SSI LEP grant that we received a few years back. That individual was recommended, I believe it was by Ms. O'Donnell. He was an ex-employee of the district, mm-hmm. and so he knew the community well. I can't recall if his name was Mr. Allen or Mr.
Yeah,
Long.
But didn't you have to rewrite whatever he gave you?
No. That might have been a different one. That's the only one I used. There was another gentleman that we tried or was when we were considering, and yes, that one was a bit off track, but this one individual did work out. Then Ms. Suniga also communicated or contacted somebody from EPISD and just mentioned the name. So at this point, what I have mentioned to her is, well, we'll talk to both and see what kind of references or what kind of information they can share before we make a decision on the actual individual that we select.
Do you have money for contracted services?
Under her the external funding budget, there are funds there.
There might be enough for $3,000 for two of them in particular. For these smaller ones, it might take maybe $1,000 each.
Can we be contracted?
No.
Madam Chair, I have a question. Or like the one that didn't work out, that didn't.
So we didn't pay anything out.
Okay. That's if they don't get the job done correctly, then they should
pay them correct. No, we don't pay them out. And basically, and again, it's been several years, so we have to talk to the individual again. But one of his stipulations was we don't get the grant. We don't. In other words, there's two prices for him. Wow. And basically, it was depending on whether the grant was awarded.
I like okay. that. Mm-hmm.
And then again, I don't know if he's still doing it, but that I was going to start there and then start doing some research.
Or do you just look like online? And, you know, grant writers are us.
I also thought of perhaps
Craigslist.
I was
going to
say
or
Craigslist.
You do need a good grant writer. I'd be the first one to say with a grant writer on staff personally, I think you would see the benefit of that threefold. But given the situation, you do need somebody that's knows the heart-tugging words that you need sometimes.
Right. Yeah. And I'll just make reference to the fact that the position as external funding coordinator 4 years back was one of more of a grant writing position than actual compliance and expenditure reporting and maintenance of effort and all those other things that, of course, external auditors now look for. The position evolved into, of course, she still submits all the entitlements and all the state grants. However, the biggest focus of her job entails compliance as well as, reviewing her quarters campus training,
doing the budgets,
training and being more training, so.
Okay, so should we talk about the position when maybe we should go with contracted services here now and consider that position during budget time?
It's definitely something to consider.
Yeah. On staff.
Okay.
Any other question?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next agenda. I have a great community input.
Community input.
Good evening, Madam Chair and other members. I have a few questions, or maybe not just questions, but input. Number two, the decision-making campus level. I've been on CIC before, and regardless of whether, well, every time that I served on CIC, it was always after hours. And the last term, because CIC members serve 2 years. And the last term that I served, we did have a parent volunteer who was consistent after school. But previous years prior to that, I mean, I've been on and off since Mr. Hedon. And it doesn't matter if you come during the day or after hours, it's going to be very tough to get parents. My concern is that if you have them during the day, it's a disadvantage for the teachers because you are pulling them out once a month. Like at our campus, they meet once a month. And so you're pulling them out even if it's half a day for a CIC meeting, when they could be in the classroom, especially right now. It's time is of the essence to be in the classroom because of the testing. So that's my issue on that one. On the 2-hour absence for exempt employees, if I understood correct, based on what Ms. Carrasco said, She said that basically for teachers, it's either a half day or a full day. You call it in as a half day or a full day. And so let's just say that I had an appointment at 2:30, and so I need to leave at 2 o'clock, okay? I would have to call in a half day and be deducted 4 hours from my days type thing. Whereas if it's somebody who's not in the classroom, whether it be an administrator or somebody at central office, or even let's say the librarian, because they don't need a sub. If they need to be gone, let's say their appointment, same thing, same scenario, the appointment's at 2:30, they need to leave at 2 o'clock to get there. They're only going to be docked 2 hours, basically. Well, I don't think that's right. I think that it should be across the board, regardless, because I see that, you know, you were talking about, I'm going to call them bad apples that sometimes take advantage of things like this. I think you're going to have a harder time keeping the reins on people who are going to take advantage if you allow them to be out 2 hours. You know, if they're going to, there's going to be more taking advantage of that than if they're 4 hours, because you're deducting a half day. Whereas if it's 2 days, well, it might be two hours here, and then next month it'll be another 2 hours. So as far as, like, if I get an emergency and whatever happens, God forbid, that I need to leave at 2 o'clock or 2:15, there's not going to be a sub that's going to be come in to take care of my class. So the office is going to have to somehow find the personnel so that if they allow me to leave, depending on the emergency, right? I would hope that they would get someone to cover the class from 2 to 3 when the kids leave 2:15. I think that it should be across the board for all exempt employees the same way. That it be half day. If you're requiring the teachers to take half a day when sometimes they only need the 2 hours, then I think it should be that way across the board. And I feel that that would then eliminate people trying to take advantage of the 2 hour process. That's my point of view. As a teacher and as a parent, as a taxpayer, that's my point of view there. It should be across the board. The other issue that, or item that I wanted to talk about was the creation of positions. I'm sure hearing a lot of creating of positions, and it's a deja vu of what we used to be in the past. I understand if it's a TEA recommendation that we really, the hands are tied, in so many words. But this district liaison, Ms. Carrasco said that it was at a director's level or above, which means pretty good money in the pocket. However, I remember way back under Mr. Hart that we had such a person who attended the planning committees at the city level and who reported back to the board, but he was an employee of this district, and that was Dr. Kessinger. He was an associate superintendent, sorry, Ms. Riggum. But I as a taxpayer, I'm against, I agree with you all. We have to have representation not only at the city level, but at the state level possibly too, to keep up with legislation. And every citizen, every board member, every teacher, every employee of a district, that's your responsibility to choose, if you choose to keep up the legislation. That's your responsibility, I feel. However, I don't agree that we should hire somebody. I really don't. And as a taxpayer, I think that we have people here that could do that job, because I go back to when we had the administration of Mr. Hart, that Dr. K did this, and I would sit at the board meetings when he would come back and he would present what they talked about at the city planning. He would bring back information on this community is developing here, and this and this and this. Ms. Brigham, you remember, you were present. And so I'm suggesting that instead of hiring that person, that we have someone, you know, maybe from the associate superintendent do it, to keep us informed. I would much rather spend that money on a grant writer, because the grant is going to benefit the students. This person, yes, is going to benefit the district, But I really do have a problem because I also remember back then that we had a lot of people that worked at central office, from directors to just personnel, that were a head of different colors. They had more than one job description. They had to take care of many things, type thing. And I know that as the district is growing, that might not be the case. But I would like to know, for a district our size, how many people in here at central office do we have, not only in the director's position, but personnel, period? You know, I don't know, this Ms. Unica that presented now, if she's under a director or just a personnel. But I really, as a taxpayer, would like to know, for the the size of our school, what is the number that should be there? Okay. And I'll give you an example of why now, as a parent and as a teacher, I have a problem with this issue. Because you're cutting personnel at the campus level. We used to have two reading specialists that would address at-risk students. And you had a bilingual reading specialist who would address the students that needed the help in Spanish, and you had a monolingual reading specialist who would address the needs, and we call them the 504 specialists. Well, a few years now, it's been at least three, I'm going to say, it was cut down to one. The load, the student load did not decrease. It's this, it's still now one person having to address all the 504 students reading, that have difficulty with the reading of the whole campus. So the number of students did not decrease, but yet the personnel to address those students' needs did, from two to one. And I have an issue with that, because I feel that the personnel, we need to be top-heavy at the campuses, because they're the ones that are taking care of the students. And that's what we're about, students first. Pre-K. Pre-K has been asking for years for an assistant to take care and help them out with the little ones. They don't have an assistant. You know, that's a paraprofessional level. So again, we're still not addressing the needs at a campus level, but we're going to go ahead and get top heavy once again at central office. Just from where I've been, just here, I've already got, well, the two recommended positions from TEA, the new position for the district liaison. I'm not sure if the director of student community services is a new position. I'm assuming it is because, no? Okay. But there's at least three positions that you're asking for. And again, as a taxpayer, as a parent, as a teacher, I really have a problem with this. Another way that our campuses were impacted was with our GT teachers. Do you know that the GT teachers now have to split campuses? We don't have a GT teacher at every campus. She's serving two campuses. So our GT students are getting served maybe if a lot, twice a week. There's something wrong with that picture and the 504. So again, it's not, I just feel that we need to go back and think about, what are we here for? We're here for the students. If we're going to start staffing, we need to start staffing there. And we need to go back and maybe have people here at Central take care of more than one job. Because a director's pay is, I mean, some of the people here get paid more than a teacher. You know? And I know that it varies on the job description and the level of education. But you know, who's the one preparing the kiddos for the future if it's not the teachers? So, thank you for your listening to me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. And this brings us to adjournment. It is 7:54.
You did it.
Before 8. You just wanted to get it in before 8, didn't you?
You had to get it in.
Yes. You did it.
Yes.
Yes,
ma'am.
We have 30 days to review and all the feedback.
Oh, did you like it?
Yeah,
I wanted you.
Nice.
Yes, I wanted you to see it. And I wanted you to.
Yes, I just brought that so you knew. Okay. I was happy.
Thank you.
Yeah, good job.